talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making, and there's a lot of it being made right now. Get right to it. Big visit in Milwaukee. Kamala Harris, vice president, comes here with her husband, meeting with folks in Milwaukee. Focus was lead pipe abatement, lead pipe removal. There's a problem with that in Milwaukee. There's a problem with that in a lot of cities. Under the hard infrastructure bill, which passed with bipartisan support, including 19 Republican senators, $48 million came to Milwaukee to remove lead pipes and lead pipe link-ups to Milwaukee's water system. That's just a drop in the bucket, by the way. It's going to cost about $750 million to get rid of all the lead pipes in Milwaukee. This is a slow process. But obviously lead pipes, lead in the water, ends up in cognitive difficulties with kids and so forth. And individual homeowners in Milwaukee have been encouraged to disengage their lead pipes. Some can afford to pay for it by themselves. This is a start, $48 million. It was a good message to bring, very good message to bring. And I'm glad that she was in town. Some news from the Supreme Court. This is a little known case. A lot of other cases are pending right now that are blockbusters, headline makers. But this one, I don't know if you remember, but during the pandemic, Nancy Pelosi put in a rule that you could have proxy voting. You didn't have to be in the chamber physically to cast a vote. This is a deviation from longtime congressional practice. Typically in the past, what you had to do is physically be there. And there was a device, let's say you were sick and couldn't get there. You couldn't vote proxy. But you go to a buddy in the other party or somebody who is going to vote differently from you, and they would agree to pair up. What that meant was it would be read into the record that you were going to vote for the bill, he was going to vote against it, so therefore neither of you were voting, and there was no harm, no foul. In other words, each of you had effect because you would have canceled each other's votes out. Well, one of you wasn't voting because you were in a hospital bed, and the other one was just accommodating you. That kind of courtesy went by the wayside a long time ago. When John F. Kennedy was in the hospital somewhat in the late 50s. He had some illnesses, and he would pair himself up in the Senate with a friendly Republican, and they were on opposite sides of a bill, and that's how that pairing worked. Well, Pelosi swallowed the alligator. She went one step farther, and she said, look, with COVID, it can be dangerous to even come to Washington. Now, there are many people in Congress who represent Maryland, Virginia, say Delaware, the states where you can easily drive or take a train in, and they can get here. But what if you represent Alaska? What if you represent California? What if you represent Hawaii? What if you represent, frankly, most areas of the country where you have to fly in? It can be dangerous. Flights were being limited and so forth. So she passed this proxy voting rule. It was done by majority vote. She had the support of the Democratic caucus. What it said was you could find somebody in the Congress. This is the House of Representatives, not the Senate. In the House, in the Congress, who would cast the vote for you along with their own as long as they were physically there. So you would find a congressman from, say, Maryland or Virginia, who's there every day. It's like going into the office. And that person would get up and say, I cast my vote this way. And I also cast a congressman or Congresswoman Jones's vote this way. And I'm authorized to say that he or she said that's okay. And it worked fine. There was no fraud. There was some charges that, well, people didn't try too hard to come to Washington. Well, actually, they did. Actually, a lot of them did. But, you know, if you represent New Mexico, you represent Wisconsin, you represent Illinois, anywhere, you have a couple of hour plane flight, the middle of COVID. I mean, it was really the beginning of COVID, very dangerous, no vaccines. People didn't even know back then that you needed to wear masks. Some people were saying you shouldn't wear masks because that makes it worse. That turned out to be wrong. I don't know if you remember back then, but I'm talking March, April, May of 2020. People wouldn't go to grocery stores. They'd call in or email in their order, have it delivered, or go and pop the trunk and somebody'd run out and put it. And then you'd put the groceries in your garage for 3 days. I'm not talking about the perishables, but canned goods, so that the germs and all that, as you looked at them at the time, would somehow die over 3 days. This is all baloney. None of it was necessary, but that's what people were doing. So it was a big deal to have to travel. And this was a very good rule, and it enabled Congress to get its work done. Well, Kevin McCarthy and the Republicans always trying to turn something to their advantage, even though they use this procedure all over the place. They use the same procedure. They got very sanctimonious, very righteous, and they get up and they go, this is wrong. You know, ever since 1788, ever since actually before 1788, before George Washington was sworn in, members of Congress had to show up. They had to ride horses. They had to ride horses from South Carolina up, or they had to ride horses from Massachusetts down. It was a pain in the neck. If they could do it, we can do it, and all that. Look, I think people should be there in person. I think that's a good thing. But if there is a communicable disease, a pandemic circulating, I think this is a reasonable thing to do. Anyway, the lower courts that looked at this, because he had to bring it, first of all, in federal court, and he brought it in the what's called the district court, which is the lowest trial court in the federal system. They all ruled that the federal courts can't get into the business of the Congress, that we have separation of powers. We have executive, we have judicial, and we have legislative. And the judicial can't tell the legislative how to run their business. And there is a provision, in the Constitution that says no member of Congress shall be liable or have to account for anything he does or says in the Congress itself. And so that was the right ruling. Anyway, it goes up to the Court of Appeals. Court of Appeals sits on a little bit, and then they go, okay, that's right. That's right. Kevin McCarthy, they're always trying, always trying to destabilize, to make an issue out of nothing, even things that they take advantage of themselves. They do advantage of themselves. Anyway, it went to the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, the U.S. Supreme Court is the 800-pound gorilla. It's the big kahuna, 9 justices, and anything that comes up out of any court in the country can end up there, theoretically, state or federal. They're the umbrella court over everybody. Now, there are a lot of rules limiting what they can do. It has to be a federal question, or it has to be a dispute between citizens of several states. They can't get involved in individual states' businesses. You know, but what happens when two states sue each other over water rights in a common boundary? That has to go to the U.S. Supreme Court. In any event, this thing comes up to the U.S. Supreme Court. Everybody thought, oh my God, all of these people, they're conservatives, Trump appointed them, blah, blah, blah. Unanimously, they upheld the lower court, and they said, look, and that just came down yesterday, we are not getting into the business of the Congress. If they want to do business that way, it's up to them. We don't want to get in their face. We don't want them in our face. That's the fact of the matter. So the fact that they think there should be proxy voting, majority of them, okay. Would we have come to the same conclusion? We don't know. But the truth of the matter is that we are not going to substitute our judgment for theirs. So it was good. Kevin McCarthy got slapped down, but he's there all the time. Kevin McCarthy should rent a conference room in the Supreme Court. His people are there all the time complaining about things they end up taking credit for, just like they'd vote against the bipartisan Infrastructure Act and then go back in their districts and boast about the money that came back, that kind of thing. There's absolutely no shame. There's absolutely, quite frankly, no accountability, apparently. So you can say to McCarthy, you know, very similar in this state to Rebecca Clayfish, the Duchess of Foxconn, certifying that she's indefinitely confined so that she can vote absentee and then campaigning against it. And initially hiding the fact that she did. I mean, is there a consequence to this kind of stuff? Is there a consequence to the Republicans who took advantage of proxy voting because they stayed home because they didn't want to travel during a pandemic either, suing and saying it's a terrible thing? Well, if it's a terrible thing, why'd you do it? There's a thing in law called estoppel. They're stopped from even saying this. In any event, good judgment in this particular case only from the U.S. Supreme Court. We're going to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.